Welcome to the Moment in Ministry podcast. In a world that's filled with fear and anxiety, it is now, more than ever, imperative that those which are called by Christ's name turn and look upon Him.
Hello again, this is Pastor Steve Dameron for a Moment in Ministry. Once again, we have Missionary Dave Olson with us. And for this segment, we're going to leave the idea of the mission field, and we're going to key in on discipleship and follow-up. So, with discipleship and follow-up at our church, Brother Olson has developed What's Next, both a discipleship book and then a study guide. So, let's talk about that first. Sure. So, I think, from what I remember, you developed this on the mission field?
Yeah, I got that idea on the mission field. There was a young lady, she got, after being saved, she got baptized. And then right after the baptism, she said, "So, what's next?" And that was the key right there. Right. Well, we got to keep her going. We had some discipleship material that we did use, but I wanted to get some practical stuff in their hands and started teaching a series of messages there. Eventually, finished it up when it came back here.
Yes.
Put it into book form and just called it What's Next.
Okay, so then why don't you explain why you settled on, I think it's eight lessons?
Yeah, seven? With eight sections. The first one is a review of salvation, which I think is very important. You never want to take for granted that someone's saved. Just give them a book or a follow-up visit. It's, you got saved. I think you want to establish that they're really saved. And then seven lessons after that. And I settled on just a short number because you go in, with 26 lessons, A to Z.
Yeah, right.
And you show up with a thick book, they're going to be like, "You're not coming to my house for 6 months straight."
Right.
And it gives them a sense of completion. And I wanted to make sure there's some things that are very vital that you get up front. Then you can go into some of those longer ones. And so I settled on these ones, know what you got. So one of the first chapters there. You got eternal life. You're in a new family. God's your Father. And what do you do after your sin? A lot of Christians don't know. They think they lose their salvation. They think they need to get saved again. So, confess your sin. Those are just very simple things. The importance on growing and how to grow, that's in there. There's, of course, a chapter on baptism. Try to make that really practical. Answer a lot of questions. I think it's important, especially in our day and age where people think it's... some people equate it with salvation. A lot of churches have taught that. So going through that, one of the biggest and most important lessons I think was important, including was the battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I take the longest of all the chapters in there is on that. Beware of your enemies. Because... that's something they got to learn how to deal with, and if we don't tell them that right up front, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah,
and I found that a lot of discipleship material that I looked through was either way too deep,
and
logical, written by Dr. So-and-so, which I'm all for doctors, but you got to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
And then some of it was such fluff that there was not much depth. So hopefully, mine is a good balance somewhere in between. I like it. That's why I developed and so I could use it. And I did the two-book thing so that you give the book when they got saved. And then the follow-up, it's a great excuse for a follow-up visit. Here, I've got this other book. And then if you'd like to, we can come back next week and work on looking through your answers to the first part.
All right, so we talked about the book, but let's get into some of the practical. What are some practical tips? I know you teach on it here, and if you're interested, we have a YouTube channel, Fairhaven Classes, and he teaches a class called Ministry Essentials. In that, there is some lessons on discipleship that would give you some of that. But in this segment, we're kind of saying, all right, so what are some practical tips? Because we're always working here at discipleship.
Right.
And so what are some practical things that might help?
Well, I think, just number one is just keep it on the forefront of your mind. You just don't win them and leave them. You've got to follow up on them. And if we don't, someone else will, meaning the devil.
Yes.
And if they're really saved, they're going to have questions, and they're going to get on the Internet. And a lot of the stuff on the Internet is not going to be good and helpful. Or they're going to go run down to the local Christian bookstore. A lot of that's not good sound material. So we've got to get to them right away and follow up with them. And... I think during your first visit, you want to ensure that they got saved. And if they're not, then you want to help them understand it. And there's no, you're not pushing them. You're just trying to help them and let them know you're helping them. And then you try to set up a visit for the next week. And what I try to do is try to make it on the same day, around the same time. Kind of make an appointment, a schedule, mm-hmm. so it becomes part of their routine.
Yes.
If not, it's kind of hit or miss. Hey, I'll give you a call, and we'll just see how it works out. And a lot of times that never works.
Yes.
Another question people have, where do I have it? You know, do I have it at the restaurant? Well, you might want to meet one time at a restaurant, but then it gets pretty expensive. You're putting the bill every
right,
time you're going
exactly.
out for to meet for discipleship. Then do you have them over your house? I think sometimes that's good to have them over your house. But I've found you can't control the distractions at someone else's house, but at least you can control the fact that it's going to happen.
Yes. Right.
If I invite them over my house, they might forget to come.
Yeah.
Oh, that was supposed to come. Oh, mm-hmm. sorry, you know. But if you say, hey, we'll come back, and it makes it convenient, and you're trying to make it as convenient for them, they're going to be more comfortable at their house. So, yeah, you kind of mix it up a little bit, but typically you try to have an appointment at the same place, same time.
Okay. All right, so you mentioned, actually I mentioned a YouTube the classes,
yeah.
But you did a lesson in our church.
Yeah, just a few months back.
Okay, and so we're going to try to get that link up on the bottom there for you guys. Maybe explain that lesson.
It was just called Discipleship in a Nutshell. It was trying to review and take the overall view of what discipleship is and how to do it and put it all together in one simple package. And, you know, it does provide a lot of good.
Right.
You know, little nuggets there.
Okay. Then also, something you and I have talked about is not overloading the person you're discipling.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. You know, it happens sometimes when we're zealous.
Yeah, we're excited.
Man,
right.
Someone got saved.
Right.
So, well, let's go get them. And so, you know, you've got them a discipleship book, and then you've got the study guide that goes
right.
along with it. And, of course, you're going to try to get them a Bible. And
right.
it's all good. And then, you know, well, they have to have family or regular devotions. So then you come in with a devotional, and then, you know, maybe they've got an addictions problem. So now you're bringing in, you know, some recovery material. And then
then they need a library.
Up, you know, by the end of the week,
right.
you've got a stack of books
right.
this week. And there's a tract on
right.
this.
And then there's Strong's Concordance, Knave's Topical
yeah,
Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and why do we have the King James? Well, we have a book on that called Understanding the King James.
Right.
So we give them all of these things, and they're like, yeah. I remember going to a follow-up visit. Someone had led the wife to the Lord, and I had dealt with the husband, and I went there to follow up the husband, and, of course, the wife's there. And then they come out with this big stack. Yeah, I got this.
Right.
And I could tell they hadn't even touched
right.
it. So I think keep it simple, one step at a time.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty important because then we're not overloading them.
Right.
And it also, it's good for us because what it's going to make us do is follow up.
Yeah.
Some of it I think might be, well, I can give them this and maybe, hey, in a month I'll check back with you. But they need that. They need that consistency of us being there too.
They do, and they also need to feel that you know they're not. You're not going to reject them. That they're not. You're not going to treat them as losers because.
Yes.
Hey, here's this. And the devotional journal. I forgot to add that.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and you didn't keep. You know, you missed 3 days in the devotional. Just give them a break. You
yes.
know. I mean.
Yeah. Let them take small steps.
Yeah, one step at a time. And don't make them feel bad if they haven't done everything you thought they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
We have to remember how long it took us to get where
oh, yeah.
we are in our Christian life, and we forget that so easily.
Yeah. All right, so our last thought here is, and you and I have talked about this a lot, we've talked about it because in our church, I think both of us, God has helped us in developing some things, even through our Sunday school program. So he and I work with our new folks that get saved, and we call it growing in grace. And I think that's very important. That's another area within your church. You're working with those new people, and it means a lot to them.
Oh.
You know that, and they're always inquisitive. They have a touch with the pastor, touch with our pastors, you know, and people that really know the Bible, and it's very important. But as we have been and grown in grace now for a couple of years, people come and people leave, and that can be discouraging. So
yeah,
let's address that.
It can be, and I think what we have to remember, you know, we've got the Great Commission. Yes, we've got to go and win them, and that's the exciting part. And then we've got to get them baptized and then teach them all things.
Right.
That all things takes a long time.
Yes.
And how I put it is that salvation's free, but discipleship costs. When we remember that, we're gonna remember that not everyone's gonna want it. I mean, Jesus had that. He had in John chapter 6.
Yes.
He had a whole bunch of people walk away from him, and he had to turn to his 12 and say, "Will you also go away?" And so we got to understand, not everyone's going to stick. Not everyone wants to serve God. But those who do, they just get stronger and stronger and stronger. And as I touched on earlier, we have to remember, we didn't get to where we were overnight. And we've got to have patience with people.
Yep.
And they're going to have setbacks. They're going to stumble. You know, they're not going to do everything that we wish that they would. And we got to show them that we love them, we care for them, and we're there to help lift them up. And another thing, too, is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm discipling this person. Well, it's good to have someone else.
Yes.
Up. You know, look for a couple people
yes.
to disciple. So when one's petering out, you can...
You still, them. Yeah,
yes.
you still have work to do.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate your time.
You.
And I challenge you, those that are watching, find someone to disciple. Yeah. As we've been trying to encourage you to do it, if you want some of Brother Olson's material... email him or contact us at the church, VarianBaptist.org, and we can get you in touch as far as some of this material. But I really do challenge you: find someone, disciple them, and it's very rewarding.
Amen.
It's very rewarding. It's exciting. What it'll do, it'll take your focus off yourself. And many times as Christians, we get very selfish and we're focused on ourselves. But you'll be focused on other people and their needs. And it's amazing. God's pretty smart. He knows what we need. And so he knows that when we're thinking about others, we're not thinking about ourselves. And that is one of the keys to being a good Christian. It's thinking of others. It's esteeming others better than yourself. And so let's make sure to do that. Again, this is Moment of Ministry. Thanks for watching.